people don't like that kind of language. It make them think, oh, no, we're not slaves, we're free. We got Barack Obama. You know, you out of your mind. Because if you enslaved to that man, you are enslaved for sure. I'll say this, like the young man told me in the barbershop, don't talk about Barack Obama in this barbershop. Some things may happen to you. I told them my allegiance is to Jesus Christ and to him alone as Lord and Savior. And I also told them a lot of you don't even know what I'm talking about because this is a spiritual relationship. I am a bond slave of Christ, not of Obama, not of the government, not of a government handout. You need to know that. And those of you Christians that's bitten the bullet and fallen into that, shame on you. So this allegiance corresponded to a total ownership and this authority denoted by this relationship with Christ. Paul understood that his special office promoted his status as a chief slave. You get that? That's why when a lot of people tell me that they want to be a pastor, you don't know what you're talking about because you're the chief slave. I'm the one that's supposed to show you babies how to die for Christ, how to sacrifice for Christ, how to live for him. And I am also to show you how shameful it is when we deny Christ by behavior, attitude, disposition. And you know what? When I said that, I thought about my behavior, attitude, and disposition at times. It's disgusting. I cannot stand me. Why Christ loves me, I do not know. But Paul's use of this term apostle here must be understood in the frame of Paul's self-estimation. You have to go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, let's go back to that wonderful, wonderful resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're just going to look at verse 9. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles." See, he had a true estimate of himself. That's why I can talk about that, about myself also. That is having the true estimate of oneself. Now, let's continue to look at this. Paul says in verse 9, "I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." You see, Paul understood what his life was all about, what his intentions were all about, and God expects the very same thing of us. So the term expresses total belongingness, this relational kind of a thing, this allegiance. Now, he was not one of the historically first to have learned from Jesus because Paul came after the original apostles did. He noted in his personal life that he had a certain accountability towards the other apostles in the mother church. Now, let me take you to Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, because you want to ask this question. Did Paul have a relationship with the earlier apostles since he was not a part of them? Listen to what he said in Galatians 1:17. "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus." Then he says in verse 18, "Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas," that's another word for Peter, "and stayed with him 15 days. And then he says, "But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother." See, so he's saying that I wasn't taught the things of Christ like the regular apostles were. He knows that he was not. He's not bragging on it. He's not saying that he's more superior. I'm just giving you an insight to who this man was. Yet he does know who he is in a personal relationship with. I like that because he says it's not about being with James, nor is it about being with anyone else. It is about being in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what is more important, better than everything else. And that's what I love about the Apostle Paul. And I hope that you love that about him too. What a great personality. I don't know whether you ever looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord?" See, he said, even though I did not, see him when the original apostle saw him, but I saw him. And this is what I love about Paul. He can talk about that meeting. Well, now you may be saying, where did he see him? What are you talking about? He said that he saw him. No, you have to go back to the Galatians text, to the Galatians 1:17 text, and you have to understand that Paul was saying that he saw the Lord. And in the Galatians, I'm thinking about another scripture in Galatians where Paul said that he was taught by Christ 3 years in the wilderness of Arabia. And that scripture just escapes me right now, and I don't want to lose my train of thought, but he was trained by God. That'd, you know, give you an opportunity to do a little Bible research on your own. So the agency of his personal calling is identified. Jesus Christ called Paul. Called Paul, and Paul answered. Jesus called, Paul answered. Now, this is a divine calling as opposed to human self-appointment, because we got a lot of human self-appointed preachers out there today. God ain't never called them to do anything. I know that because I know a real preacher when I see one and hear one. And most of the phonies and the counterfeits and the pimps that I hear today have never been called by Christ. See, Jesus called and Paul answered. Jesus called me, Pastor John, and I answered, though I'm not the best answer in the world, because I view myself just like Paul. I'm just a dung heap thrown out on the side. I'm nothing. You shouldn't give me your money. You shouldn't give me your life. It's a wonderful privilege for me to love you people, to love you, to look at you and to smile. You make me happy because Christ is in you and you love Jesus. Therefore, I love you. If you don't love Jesus, I still love you because God created you. So there's a divine calling as opposed to human self-appointment. This was not based upon presumptuous human egotism. See, Paul didn't come to God and say, well, now I think it's time for me to be a preacher, and I think you need to open up and let these systematic exchanges take place between me and you because, God, you need me now. No, it's not like that. Not like that at all. This calling was for a purpose, and this purpose was for the proclamation of the good news. Now, you need to hear me now. Because, see, we don't hear language like this much. Go to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 9, and you'll understand what his calling was all about. He says, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion. And then it says, bearer of good news, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, he is your God. This is why Paul was chosen. Paul was chosen because he had a message to proclaim, a truth to herald. Look at chapter 41 of the book of Isaiah and verse 27, if you will. It says, formerly I said to Zion, behold, they are here, and to Jerusalem I will give a messenger of good news. You see, that's what Paul saw himself as. That's all he is a bearer of good news, not a bearer of bad news. That's why when you hear a preacher talking about the economy, what are you listening to that fool for? He shouldn't tell you how to survive a bad economy. He should tell you how to survive in Christ, but that's about it. Look at Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. It says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. This is who and what Paul saw himself as. And the inevitable question is, do we see that in our lives? So the intervention by way of the call is concerned with God's reign in our hearts. Okay? For this, Paul was called. Now, what were you called for? What are you called for? As the gospel of God is no less than the authoritative word which Paul was called to proclaim. Thus, the call to proclaim is nothing less than an Old Testament herald to look forward to that final call. And I believe that we are so close to that final call right now that this Bible study is adamantly important for us in the year 2009. Paul, for this purpose, made himself available. And I want you to know that God wants us to make ourselves available for this very same purpose. It's important for you to understand these truths. Now, for all of us who also see ourselves as slaves, and this is a concept that you have to understand, because if you're a Christian, you are God's slave. You are a slave to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Your life belongs to Him. Your time belongs to Him. It's interesting. This morning, while I was doing this webcast, I got a phone call from my daughter and my grandchildren. It's Good Friday, okay? It's, we look at the traditional Easter weekend, and her husband had to work, but she says, "Daddy, meet us at a favorite place for breakfast." And so I've left, and I've come back from doing that, and as I was on the way and I prayed for them, I was there while I was having breakfast with them. I prayed for them. My daughter was talking about the moral way that I raised she and her sister, the kind of family life that we had. And the children recall, because Morio and I came to have breakfast with them one morning, how strange Morio was acting. So the children are old enough, and I shared with them how Morio had lost both of his parents, and that when a young man is going through that, he appears to be angry. And I was sharing with him how Morio told me last night over the phone that he truly loved me, and he kept repeating that. And I was sharing with my daughter, I said, it is amazing to me how after years of ministering for Christ that you receive love from the strangest sections. Morio's no professing Christian, but he understood when the love of Christ came his way. Why is it that the so-called professing Christians, when the love comes their way, they see it as something foul? Don't understand it. Strangest thing in the world. Strangest thing in the world. Could it be that the professing Christian has never come in contact with real love, and the sinner who's come in contact with it undeniably does not get it mixed up? You see why Paul came to proclaim? We too, like Paul, should see ourselves as that particular person which the Lord desires to use. Are there distinguishable qualities that will allow for Him to be used in our lives? I think that that's what we have to do. And you know what? If you do not address that, you will find yourself wanting. You will find yourself wanting. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Now, I think I'm going to stop right there because, yep, it's about 46 minutes into this study, and I want you to just parouse around in your mind about what the Apostle Paul is and how the Apostle Paul is attempting to teach us some wonderful, wonderful things. Yeah, well, I got a little time left here, and so what I'm going to try to do now is I'm going to try to end up this Bible study with a nice number. I don't know what the number is going to be. I got to find it here. And let's see. I got 20 numbers on this cut right here. So I think I'm going to play. Let me see. I've already played that for you. I want to get a nice song that goes right along with this Bible study. Ah, yes, that's what I'll do. I'll play number 6. This is a very special song, and I want to play it for you because it has special significance to me. I told you that I saw Keith Green's last concert here in Long Beach, California, before he died tragically in an airplane accident with some of his children and some other Christians. But he has a wonderful number on this particular CD called Pledge My Head to Heaven. This man dedicated everything in his life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to let you listen to the words of a dead man. But in essence, Keith's songs will live on forever. Keith Green, Pledge My Head to Heaven.
Will I pledge my head to heaven?
Why?
For the gospel.
For the gospel. Listen, listen.
And I ask no man on earth to fill my need.
No man on earth can fill my need. Listen, listen.
Like the sparrow up above,
yeah.
I am enveloped in his love.
I'm enveloped in his love. Listen.
And I trust him like those little ones he feeds.
I trust him like the little ones he feeds. Give me verse 2, Keith.
Well, I pledge my wife to heaven for the gospel.
Pledge my wife. Listen.
Though our love each passing day just seems to grow.
Yeah, that love seems to grow. Listen, listen.
As I told her when we went, I'd surely rather be found dead than to love her more than the one who saved my soul.
Pledges his children to the gospel. Listen.
He's kicked and beaten, ridiculed.
That's right. He knew that his children would be that way. Listen.
I will teach him to rejoice.
Yes.
And let the thankful praising voice. And to be like him who bore the nails and crown of thorns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm gonna count all things lost.
Yes.
No matter whatever the cost.
I'm gonna what?
I'm gonna count all things lost.
I'm counting it lost. Listen. That's Bob Dylan on the harmonica. Bob Dylan. Say that, my friends.
Pledge my son, pledge my wife,
pledge my wife,
pledge my head,
my head.
Heaven.
Say it again, Keith. I pledge myself, I pledge my wife, I pledge my head to heaven for the gospel. There it is, there it is. Thank you, Keith Green, up in heaven looking down. I love his music. I have his greatest collection. That's right. The Ministry Years, Keith Green, 1977 through 1979, Volume 1. What a singer. Long hair, mustache, look like a hippie, plays the piano a lot like Elton John. I think one of the finest Christian young men that ever lived. Died at 26 years young. A lot of you may be saying, well, why would God take out a great man like that if he's... because it's just, you can only go so far. You can only go so far and do what God told you to do, and then he's going to call you home. How did he get called home? He and his friends were in a little airplane. They overloaded the airplane. They had just purchased a ministry in Texas somewhere, and they went to take off in the plane so that they can see the ministry thing from the air, and the plane crashed and killed them all. All right. Well, I got to go now because got to take this.